Yale Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Macmillan Report. I'm Marilyn Wilkes, your host, and our guest is Sushant Singh. He is here at Yale as a visiting scholar in the Council on South Asian Studies and the Department of Political Science. Mr. Singh is the deputy editor of the Indian Express newspaper in Delhi, India, where he writes about national security, international relations, higher judiciary, and investigative agencies. Among other places, he has reported about conflict from North Waziristan in Pakistan and from the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. Before turning to journalism, he served in the Indian Army for 20 years, including multiple stints in Jammu and Kashmir. He also served as a United Nations military observer in Côte d'Ivoire, where he was awarded the UN Secretary General's Medal. He is the author of Mission Overseas, Daring Operations by the Indian Military, and the co-author of Note by Note, The Indian Story, 1947 to 2017. Today we'll talk with Mr. Singh about the conflict between India and Pakistan over Kashmir. Welcome, Mr. Singh.
Thank you so much.
So let's talk about the conflict between India and Pakistan over Kashmir. It's been going on for just about 70 years at this point. So tell us about it.
So the conflict in Kashmir actually started when India was under British colonial rule, and the British colonial masters decided to leave India, and they decided to split India between India and Pakistan. That happened in the year 1947.
Okay.
So besides the colonial India and colonial Pakistan, the erstwhile territories, which were ruled by the British government at that point in time, there were certain independent states, certain princely states, which had a shared sovereignty with the British masters, and they had very limited self-rule kind of a thing. Kashmir was one of these princely states. There were around 700 of them, you know, ranging from very small areas of a few square miles to really big ones like Kashmir. Kashmir was a Muslim majority region. Pakistan was formed for the Muslims of South Asia, whereas India said that it's a secular republic for all religions. So both countries wanted Kashmir to be part of their country. Both the governments wanted them to be part of their country. Pakistan said because it's Muslim majority, therefore it should be within Pakistan. India said all kinds of people are here, Christians, Hindus, Muslims, you know, Sikhs, Parsis. So you know it's perfectly fine if Kashmir is part of us. So the decision came upon Kashmir's Maharaja, who was a Hindu. He decided to join India as Pakistani-supported tribals attacked Kashmir. And then this led to a war between India and Pakistan in 1948. Certain territories were occupied by Pakistan. The rest of the territories, almost two-thirds of the territory, is with India, including the major inhabited areas of Kashmir Valley, which is the region everybody covets. Mm-hmm. There have been further, the UN brought in a ceasefire in 1949, and there's a ceasefire line, which is now known as the line of control between the two sides within the Kashmir Valley. There have been two other wars over Kashmir in 1965 and in 1999, a limited war in Kargil region between India and Pakistan. And there's been, while these people decided to join India in 1947, supported by the tallest leader, in the last 30 years, from 1989 onwards, there's been an insurgency in Kashmir, which believes that it is not getting its due from India, and they would want some kind of referendum, some kind of what they would use the word azadi or freedom from India, and would like to decide their own fate. India has pushed in a large amount of security forces. It has brought the violence down in Kashmir, but a political resolution has not been found so far, and the situation continues to remain very tough.
Let's talk about the situation today. I mean, it's really just come to a boil again recently. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the situation currently has come to a boil. If you know, just to step back, if you look at Jammu and Kashmir, it is primarily three regions. There is the Jammu region, which is the foothills of the Himalayas, the Kashmir region, which is a valley, which is the Muslim-dominated area, and the most beautiful area, almost like Switzerland in some ways. And you go up north, there is the Ladakh region, which is a dry, cold desert. The whole dispute is about the Kashmir Valley. And in the Kashmir Valley, as I said, there has been an insurgency for last 30 years. And when Kashmir acceded to India in 1947, it acceded through an instrument called Article 370. Article 370, which actually specified that it was a limited merger with India. Mm-hmm. You know, it had a special status in the Indian state. India is a unitary state, unlike the United States, which is a federal state. So you have a unitary state where you have these various other constituents, but they don't have real independence in that sense. But Kashmir had a special status. Mm-hmm. Only last month, the current Indian government, which is a Hindu majoritarian government of the Bharatiya Janata Party, they decided that a Muslim majority state should not have this special status. And through a legal, devious legal mechanism, a very complicated legal mechanism, they removed this special status. And you know that 370 has been removed. And that really caused a lot of turmoil and anguish because they believe that even this fig leaf of a special status which Kashmir had has been taken away. Moreover, while earlier it was a state, now they have made it they split it into two and made it a federally administered territory. You know, it's no longer an independent state. It will be controlled directly by the central government in Delhi. Because it is happening in the context of a Hindu majoritarian government ruling in Delhi, essentially ruling India at this point in time, whereas Kashmir is a Muslim majority region. And so this has led to a lot of angst, turmoil. There has been curfew imposed. The mobile communication has been shut down. Mm-hmm. Internet has been shut down for the last 52 days. There's no mobile telephony. There's no internet. There's no business going on. It is media. The news, local newspapers are publishing just 4-page copies. So it has been very tough. And it is pretty bad. The situation, both at a humanitarian level as well as at a political level in Kashmir, doesn't look good at this point.
So the people of Kashmir, are they trying to leave at this point at all? Are they, you know, trying to come into India because of the difficulty if they don't have, you know, the necessary services there? What is happening in that regard?
So people of Kashmir right now would want certain kind of normalcy to return. In fact, the government of India would want a certain kind of normalcy to return. But there is so much of anguish and anger among the people at what has been done to them, and done to them in a very surreptitious manner, done to them, you know, by a sleight of hand in a way. So they're pretty angry about it. So it's almost what they call a civil curfew. A curfew imposed by the people themselves.
Okay.
So they will open shops only for a couple of hours and won't open. Of course, they would want business to return to normalcy, internet to come in, you know, all the other services that are available should come in. But the government of India is not giving in because they're really worried that it could lead to protests, violence, and all kinds of situations which would show India in a very bad light, especially when the Indian Prime Minister is in the United States, attending the United Nations General Assembly, you know, doing events with President Trump, etc. It would not give a good impression of India at that point in time.
And let's talk about President Trump. He was recently in the news as trying to broker a deal between the two countries. What is your take on that?
So President Trump has maintained this for a long period of time, for the last few weeks, more than a couple of months, that he would like to broker a deal between India and Pakistan. And this is a statement which he has made again and again. Even when the Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan has met him a couple of times, or the Indian Prime Minister has met him a couple of times, or even otherwise, in other forums, he has very clearly articulated his desire that he could actually bring peace and win a Nobel Peace Prize for doing this. He has actually said that very loud and clear. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is India has, since 1971, when India defeated Pakistan to create the independent country of Bangladesh, India has always believed that Kashmir or any other dispute between India and Pakistan is a bilateral dispute. It is not something which will be discussed multilaterally or with other countries. Pakistan, of course, would want the issue to be discussed multilaterally because that would put pressure on India. Pakistan, being a smaller country, cannot put that pressure on India on its own. So India is very clear that they do not want mediation. They would not want President Trump to mediate. But whereas Pakistan would want President Trump to mediate. The President Trump, initially he said, you know, both the countries want me to mediate. But later on, he has modified his statement and added a caveat. He said, I am ready to mediate. I would love to mediate. But both countries have to request me to mediate. But both countries, clearly, India is not going to request him, or India is not going to even agree to President Trump mediating. So I see it as a no-go, although it does make India's position slightly difficult, and it's slightly embarrassing for the Indian Prime Minister Modi.
Mm-hmm. And China also has a role to play in this as well. Are they bringing any pressure to bear on the situation?
Yeah, while China, of course, continues to be strongly allied to Pakistan, and you know, so it has issued a statement along with Pakistan in trying to bring some pressure on India. But more importantly, there's a portion of the erstwhile state of Jammu and Kashmir, princely state of Jammu and Kashmir, which is with China. the Aksai Chin area from which the Karakoram Highway runs, etc. That has been taken over by China in the thing. And in China and India went to a war over it in 1962, in which China thrashed India, defeated India. And mm-hmm. so there's a portion of Kashmir which is with China as well. And through that portion, Pakistan and China are connected via highway, which is called the Karakoram Highway. So it is strategically important. It also connects the two countries. It encircles India. India would want China and Pakistan both to leave the Jammu and Kashmir region, but very clearly the power differential between India and China is such that India cannot really force the Chinese. Mm-hmm. And Chinese have issued very strong statements on what the Indian government recently did in Kashmir on Article 370. Mm-hmm. It issued very strong statements, and it said, you know, this alters our status quo, which has been done. And India said, no, we are not altering the status quo. This is an internal administrative measure, so please don't take it that way. And the Chinese president is going to be, in the next couple of weeks, he's going to be in India for an informal summit, President Xi. So it's quite a complicated situation, and China is trying to put pressure, but I don't know how much of the pressure would work on India.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think actually needs to happen for everything to work out?
Now I would get the Nobel Prize if I were to answer that question. See, Kashmir is a conflict not just over territory. It's a conflict over national identities, subnational identities, religious identities, economic resources, and so many other historical factors. You know, it's a battle of narratives, and there are multiple mm-hmm. narratives over which Kashmir is being fought. The very simple answer, logical answer, which has always been proposed, would be to make this line of control, which is now for the last 70 years, more than 70 years, 1st January 1949 onwards, make this line of control as a de facto international border, and the part of Kashmir which is with Pakistan can remain with Pakistan, and the part of Kashmir which is with India can remain with India, and they can, both sides can now live happily ever after, mm-hmm. After 71 years. But clearly that would not satisfy either of the country, because Pakistan wants Kashmir to complete the project for Muslims of South Asia, that Muslims of Muslim majority region should not be with India, whereas India has always believed as part of a secular India, it needs a Muslim state. But now with a Hindu majority in government in power in India, it becomes more difficult and more complicated.
What do the people of Kashmir want?
The people of Kashmir essentially, if you strip it down to the basics, mm-hmm. is they say that we want freedom, Azadi. That, you know, the slogan is Azadi, we want freedom. And if translated, freedom, you know, can be translated in many ways, independence, mm-hmm. freedom, whatever. But essentially, it's about they should be able to, they want a freedom to choose. They say, you know, we were promised a referendum by the United Nations, and there were certain conditions before a referendum could have been done. We were never offered that referendum, whether we want to go with India or with Pakistan or want to become independent. Historically, some of the most powerful Kashmiri leaders have talking about creating an independent state. But that clearly now seems to be out of question. So the demand is for Azadi or freedom or independence, whichever way you would call it. And I think the freedom is to say that give us a referendum, give us a choice, allow us to exercise a choice to do what we want to what mm-hmm. we want to do. It's not really that they love Pakistan anymore. The state in which Pakistan is there, it's not that Pakistan is an attraction. So it is more and more we see a lot of people, a lot of young people talking about some kind of independent or quasi-independent status mm-hmm. for Kashmir as a state or as a country.
So if Kashmir basically wants to be independent, as it's sounding, why is that not possible? Is there something that Kashmir has that Pakistan and India want other than just the geographic region?
As I said, it's a question of national identity for both uh-huh. for both the countries.
Right.
It's a Muslim majority region. For India, it's a secular republic. It would want it. Pakistan uh-huh. would want it as a Muslim Islamic country. But also its location. It is located Afghanistan, China, India, uh-huh. Pakistan, Central Asia. So you know, it's a very strategically located okay. area through which you can actually control. And everybody believes if Kashmir were to be made independent, even for a limited portion, it would be gobbled up by one of the major countries. You know, it would be a country like Bhutan or Nepal, and it would have to be protected of one of the bigger neighbors, and it has no access to sea. So, like Afghanistan, it would have huge problems. You know, where would do trade from? It won't have sea. No access to sea. So geographically, while it is a bigger area, this location and its no access to sea, etc., and no real economy in that sense of production, etc., would make it very difficult for it to exist independently on its own.
Right. So, how do you think this all will end up? I mean, if they do not reach some kind of an agreement, you know, what will be the result of that?
See, the result currently seems to be pretty messy. It will continue to be this kind of, you know, unresolved mess. We're not looking at a solution so quickly in Kashmir. I think the current Indian government believes that it can tire out the Kashmiris and they will come back to some kind of, they will reconcile to their fate and reconcile to this new new reality. Whereas Pakistan is raising it internationally and Kashmiris will probably rise up again, maybe take guns, maybe do some violence, maybe do some street protests. So I see a period of great instability with no answers coming in, and that is coming in for various factors. One is the nature of the Indian government that is there today, mm-hmm. which is clearly not very accommodative in nature, which is like very, you know, very majoritarian in a certain way in its behavior and its approach, and that would make it very difficult to find a common ground where it would go out and say, you know, can we talk and can we concede something. So the idea is not to concede anything. Idea is to subjugate and subdue. So clearly I see a lot of oppression, a lot of suppression, and some kind of international attention coming in from Kashmir, and this will it doesn't be a good fortune for Kashmir or for the Kashmiris in the near future. It is going to be pretty tough.
Well, that is unfortunate to hear, and you know, hopefully something will change to affect some kind of result there that they could be happy with.
Hopefully, I also hope that the people of Kashmir, essentially more than anybody else, it's the people of Kashmir who should not suffer, and they should find some solution.
Of course.
Which brings peace and harmony to them.
Right, yeah. Right. Very good. Thank you for talking about this with us today. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for calling me here. Thank you.
For more information about Mr. Singh, please visit our website at mcmillanreport.yale.edu. Be sure to join us again for another episode of the McMillan Report, made possible through funding from the Whitney and Betty McMillan Center for International and Area Studies at Yale.